Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're gonna get hard if you play us.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, big shout out to Pablo in Houston, man. He won them Brooks and Dunn tickets, four-pack of tickets. Pablo and his crew is going to be at NRG Stadium watching Brooks and Dunn. It's a Saturday show. You're going to have you a hell of a time, man. Appreciate you listening. We will give away another four-pack of tickets. This time it is to Cody Jinks. That will be done in the 5 o'clock hour, so make sure you stay plugged in. Now, you never know. I might do it in the 5 o'clock in the 5 o'clock segment. I might do it at the end. You got to listen to that whole hour now. Stay plugged in to Sports Radio 610. Not to mention, there might be a trade happen here for too long as well. Pablo, good luck with your surgery, man. Good luck. Good luck with your surgery, man.
Said we made his damn day and his week, man, hey, with those tickets.
Look here, man. Go on, get that surgery knocked out. Get your little week's worth of recovery, and then go enjoy a little Brooks and Dunn. Now, don't get out over your skis at the rodeo though with Brooks and Dunn. Now, if you ain't feeling right, and you need to take it slow, I'm not saying don't go. I'm just saying ease on into it now. Don't get out there acting a fool and rip them stitches open or get carried away with them cold beers like your boy Dirty has been known to do. Be smart now. Be smart.
You only live once, but you gotta pace yourself.
Hey, man, be smart now. You don't end up back in that ER now. We don't want that to happen. All right, look, guys, we've talked a lot about leadership with the Houston Texans. And most of it has been on the Laremy Tunsil front. And B. Scott, I think you made a couple of great points about the leadership. Any way you look at it, Laremy Tunsil was a leader on his football team. Now, I just don't think his leadership style was a good fit for what D'Amico Ryans and what Nick Caserio want in the O-line room, or maybe what they have been put in a position to need in the O-line room, given what all's been reported with the toxic, toxic meeting room and all that, which it doesn't surprise me. There's never been an offensive line struggle as much as the Texans struggled. And at some point in time, they tried everything under the sun. And at some point in time, you don't have some guys pointing fingers, some guys getting, you know, tuning some dudes up, telling them to get right. Like, it wouldn't shock me one bit. In fact, I would be blown away if there was never any toxicity in that meeting room, given how bad that offensive line was. Any way you slice it, where I want to go with this is, I don't want to just reserve the leadership conversation for Laremy Tunsil. I think it's a very accurate conversation to have. I think it's a very fair conversation to have. But if we're looking at the Houston Texans in general, and we're looking at the offense, overall, when it's all said and done, this is a pretty talented group. You know, you got Nico, you got Joe, you got CJ Stroud. You know, they're going to be all right up front. They're going to get some folks in here, and they're going to figure it out up front. They're going to be better than they were last year up front. I don't doubt that. Even in this moment when it's hard to see with what they're doing on the roster, I still think they're going to be better. I'm hard on Dalton Schultz, but I do believe Dalton Schultz has the ability to be a good player in this league. We've seen it. Christian Kirk, big fan of that. Him, if he's healthy. Tank Dell, obviously, big fan. I think they're not done working there. Talent is not going to be a problem for this football team. We've seen teams win with a whole lot less, I guess is what I'm saying. Right? But we can't just revolve the leadership questions or concerns around Laremy Tunsil. I mean, we got to be honest, B. Scott. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Tell me if I'm out of pocket here. One, I think my overall point is there is a leadership problem on the offensive side of the football for the Houston Texans. And I'll run down a list and I'll explain this to you. The thing is, guys can't be what they are not. They can only be authentically who they are. The fake stuff don't work in the NFL, right? The fake stuff doesn't work in the NFL. And when you look at the top guys on this offense, right? You got CJ Stroud, who I love CJ Stroud, right? But C.J. Stroud, from a leadership style, he wants to be more your friend. He wants to pray for you. He wants to be in your corner. He wants to encourage you. It's hard to lead 24/7 that way. It's hard to lead in adverse moments that way. And I think that is a flaw. Personally, I put it on me. I think that is going to be a struggle for C.J. Stroud in this league. And I think it's been a struggle to this point. Nico Collins, nose down and grind. Don't say much. I mean, he's a lead by example, work as hard as me. That's about the extent of Nico Collins' leadership, right? Dalton Schultz, I know he's been a sounding board. Some people call it leadership to C.J. Stroud. He's been a sounding board for C.J. Stroud at best, but I've heard Dalton Schultz himself say, man, I just keep my teeth to myself. I just do my role, right? Tytus Howard, I think Tytus Howard is a guy that wants to be led. I've thought that from jump. A lot of interaction with Tytus and from a media perspective. I don't know him personally. I think Tytus Howard has a chance to be a much better player with Laremy Tunsil out of the building because I think he is, and I mean this respectfully, I think he's more of a follower than he is a leader. He's more of a guy that's gonna fall in line to what the offensive line room is doing instead of necessarily lead that room, right? And so you get the point. I'm going down the list, and I'm going, man, where's the leadership going to come from? And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Because I guarantee you right now, on the text line, anybody we talk to, they're chomping at the bit to get to me and go, hey, man, you're leaving Joe Mixon out. And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon, say what you want about Joe. Joe is a dog. Joe has got no problem, saying, hey, man, we ain't getting it done. Hey, man, we got to be better. Hey, we got to protect better. We got to throw it better. We got to run better. Joe has an authentic dog in him to where he doesn't have to watch what he says. He has the ability, and a lot of it comes because his teammates respect him, but he has the ability to check guys. And I mean this in a sports sense and in a positive sense. He has that ability because he is a true, authentic alpha leader of men ultimately. And yeah, it has to do, he works really hard. Sure, all those things are great. Hell, CJ and everybody does that. They all work hard, but to me, Joe Mixon's the only dude over there that when the mess hits the fan, I ain't got no worries about Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I would agree with you about Joe Mixon. As far as like the leadership style for C.J. Stroud, I think just the way that the team has been constructed, it hasn't been as much designed for him to take a leadership role beyond just what the natural leadership spot of a quarterback is, right? Like you understand that better than I do. But as far as like the emotional leader or locker room leader or culture leader, if you will. I mean, they had Joe Mixon. Stephon Diggs is honestly somebody who probably didn't get enough credit for that.
Agreed.
When he was first signed, but I think it became clear to us after he became a part of the team. So you had Diggs, you had Mixon. Honestly, I think Shaq Mason, even though his play did not reflect it, I think he was a little bit more of a leader in the offensive line room. But that doesn't necessarily work when a guy's not playing well.
Right, you got to play well, man.
And maybe you know a guy is on his way out. So I say all that to say I do think that leadership is going to look different for C.J. Stroud in this new era of Texans football. Yeah. Like, and I'm not calling him a bad leader, and I don't think you are either, but I think it is going to have to take a new step and a new progression in year three with a new offensive coordinator, with guys who were respected that are gone now, and that being Laramie Tunsil and Shaq Mason. Those are two guys that, for however you want to talk about the leadership style or lack thereof, were leaders and voices in that room. Stephon Diggs, we don't think is going to be back, right? So that's three. Robert Woods is a guy who I think was a leader behind the scenes, is not going to be back. So with all of that turnover, there is going to be an expectation. And I think C.J. Stroud is built for it and will be able to make the adjustment as he becomes a veteran, a third-year player. But this is, I think, the season where he's got the most pressure on him.
Yeah.
Like, to hell with last year when he was coming off a historic rookie season. What it look like after your offensive coordinator get fired, they blow up your offensive line, and you're changing a new offense, and you struggled a little bit last year. Like, this is going to be a big year for him, and leadership is going to be a part of that whole process of like, sort of changing or adjusting to the new role or the new kind of just the new world order, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that the C.J. Stroud is still young, obviously. I'm really curious to see if he can make that move.
He's gonna have to. Like,
I'm gonna tell you,
it's his franchise. Cause he has.
I've been around. You know. But if it's not authentic, it can't. I mean, that's the thing. Is you, if it's not an authentic change, you can only be you. And that's the part that you worry about, man. Is in the in a locker room in the NFL. The guy, the Mr. Nice guy, again, and I don't mean it negatively, but the guy that wants to be your friend and wants to pray for you, at some point that guy has to put his foot down and get in somebody's ass.
Yeah.
At some point, especially when you start making $60 million a year, at some point you got to be that dude. And I'm just being honest with you. Like, I don't see that in CJ.
Well, I mean, look, time will tell. But I will point out this, though. Like, at the end of the season, the last time we heard from CJ Stroud, and we'll see if this actually goes into motion, if he actually practiced what they preach here. But he did talk a lot about it. We talk about accountability here. He did talk a lot about having tough conversations, difficult conversations with different people. And I don't think he was talking about Bobby Slowick. I feel like he's talking about within the locker room and maybe stepping up in a way that he's more comfortable to have these type of tough conversations. Like, that was a bit of a theme in the last time we heard from him. So I don't know if that's actually something that they're gonna do. But I do think he's in a different position now going into year three as opposed to year one as a rookie, or even year two coming off of the rookie season. Year three now having seen both good and bad, you know, having a taste of a little bit of success and some failure, and also knowing that you've been kind of given the keys to the franchise. Nobody expects C.J. Stroud to fall off of a cliff to the point to where he's not going to get that second contract, to where he's not going to be a part of the future. He is the franchise quarterback. This is his team. And so I think he understands that. He knows that. What is his leadership style going to look like? How is that going to evolve? Still a young guy. I think we will see. But it's definitely set up for him to take it by the reins.
Yeah, it's set up for damn sure. We'll see how it all goes down. I hope he has the ability to handle it all, because boy, if your quarterback is that good, if he's a $60 million guy and he ain't afraid to put a boot in somebody's ass, then now you got something. Now you're on to something. I don't expect CJ Stroud to be laughing and talking about vets not doing any extra work like he did about Laramie Tunsil. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It ain't funny. Like that, you know what I mean? Like that stuff, that's not it. That ain't the way. Unless times have changed that much, that just can't be the way.
Hey, look, I just want to give you this. He was asked, how close do you think the team is to getting to the next level? This is the first thing he said. I think we're really close, and I know you hate that. But he says, and to get to that level, it starts with communication, and hard conversations have to be had. That was the first thing he said to that question. What does that mean? What does that look like? We'll see.
Yep. Well, it looks like some of those hard conversations have taken place, because there's a lot of movement. Now, can they get the right people in here to weather that storm? I got a quick question for you, B. Scott.
Yeah.
I've always wondered this about you. I grew up with a smoker.
All right.
I got a pretty good nose for it. I have never I've known you for almost 6 years now. I've never smelt smoke on you.
Well, I think that's just maybe a coincidence because it's definitely, obviously, we've been around each other quite a bit, both in work and non-work settings.
I mean, you have it's one of those things that's like, because my dad smoked at the house.
Yep.
Like, it was the ceiling was yellow in the crib. He smoked in the house somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, so it is when I walk, they ain't got to be fresh off the smoke pit. If I just walk by a smoker, I got old bloodhound nose. I told Ron the other day, I said, B. Scott is always smelling fresh. I ain't never smelt it.
I have taken a break in every one of these breaks that we've had during this show today.
Got you a couple pulls.
Yeah, man. I've got the elevator situation down to a science.
You got old bloodhound nose. You ever smelled B. Scott?
Nah, not that I can think of.
At work, you may have. I mean, if he's standing next to you smoking a dart, then yeah, you smell that. But I'm talking about like...
Not off the dome, no.
I mean, there's a couple of folks that smoke in this building that are outside every time I walk in. And every single time I see them, they can be in the lunch line, bro. And I'm like, yep, so-and-so just walked in. I can smell them.
So I think it's because I'm self-conscious of it. What it really is, honestly, man, is car spray. Instead of perfume or cologne, right? Car spray has a way of being strong, but not like pronounced, but not overwhelming.
I've used that to cover a scent.
And so that's what
it kind
is.
Of scent was that, Tyler?
I'm just
saying. We'll talk about it off air.
But if we're being honest, that is the heart of what's going on here. You know what I mean? So it's the... Yeah, I smell like what the car spray smell like.
I mean, but I don't even smell like a strong cover-up or anything. Like, I don't know. I just always thought
it's not strong. It's faint.
It pisses me off at my dad. I'm like, you just didn't even care enough to try to cover it up. I mean, at least B. Scott, he got 6 years worth going here.
A lot of the car scents, though, are more like natural smells.
You spraying this car scent on you, or are you?
I spray it in the air. And I'm kind of just around it.
Always wondered why B. Scott smelled like a brand new car.
Smell like new leather.
Yeah. No, I don't spray it directly. You just spray it in the air and you kind of just be around.
Go out there and B. Scott's got new leather spraying it in his hair, in the back of his head.
But cologne is too strong. Cologne is too strong. Car freshener, right.
I don't know how in the hell this happened, boys.
And Altoids, too.
I have no idea how this happened, boys, but we've got an Astro that's been sidelined. We got an Astro that's been sidelined, and his opening day status is uncertain.
Uh-oh.
This ain't going to surprise nobody, but damn it. We'll see what y'all think about it. We'll do that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Ugly's out. B. Scott, Brandon Scott, B. Skeezy is in, and we are rocking and rolling. Got a little action here from the Texans trade for a sixth-round pick. They got a guard, right guard, Ed Ingram from the Minnesota Vikings. We'll break that down here before too long, but we got an Astros problem, boys. I don't know how much of a problem it is, to be honest with y'all. I may have just set y'all up here, but this shouldn't come as a surprise. Houston Astros pitcher Forrest Whitley sidelined by bruised knee, opening day status uncertain.
Little knee bruise.
Does that surprise anybody? Is anybody surprised with?
I'm a real boy.
What's going on here, man? I feel for him, bro.
So
I'm in B. Scott. I'm in a spot. Very rarely do I like with a pro athlete that I know has got plenty of money. Like, I mean, my man can't get. I mean, you talk about can't get right.
A real boy.
I mean, how in the hell? He's finally getting a little bit of run, and there's maybe some opportunity somewhere along the way for him to pitch in Daikin Park for more than a couple outings. And it ain't even the elbow. It's not the arm. It's not an oblique. It's not a shoulder. It's how you bruise your knee. The hell was he doing?
So
damn side table.
Yeah, West Palm Beach. That old strip Sean and Seth was on must got him.
Hey, and look, Forrest Whitley, he has some money in his pocket for a little while now. Probably can have a good time or two. But to be serious, man, when you ask, does this surprise? It tells you a lot when what would have surprised you actually would have been him being healthy, him being an actual contributor to the team. Like, you can't tell me that when you heard that, hey, Forrest Whitley is going to be a serious part of this Astros bullpen. He's going to be a serious force for the Astros this year. You can't tell me that you either were not surprised by that or just simply not confident in that being the case. So, man, I would have been, honestly, Clint, more surprised if this did not happen than I am that it did. And that's sad to say.
Yeah.
And I don't and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but it's just the reality that the man has had so many detours, so many instances where he just couldn't get right. It seems to kind of be just the theme with him. I'm hoping it's just a blip though, right? It doesn't mean that it's the end of the world and that he can't contribute, you know, a little bruise on the shin or the leg or the knee or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this is par for the course, I think, with Forrest Whitley right now.
Yeah, look, I'm at a point with Forrest Whitley. I just feel sorry for the guy. I don't care. I don't care to talk about the pitches and this and that and what he may or may not be. Damn, I just feel bad for the guy. Even if you're going to just get ran up out of here, just stay healthy and get ran up out of here.
Yeah.
Like, just quit getting sidelined. I mean, at some point, he's got to be just like, I'm tired of these damn injuries. On another Astros note, by the way, did y'all see, and B. Scott, you could probably help me on this, but apparently the City Connects leaked.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
And I saw a report where they tried to say that the City Connects, those weren't the real City Connects. It's not, so they're kind of going back and forth, yeah, and trying to, some people are denying it. But I'm going to tell you, them City Connects are clean, man. Did you like them?
I loved them. Like, I'm not and I've talked about this
fire
before. I am not a jersey guy. You're not going to really see me in too many jerseys. If I get a jersey, that means I'm probably hanging it up, or I'm just keeping it as a souvenir, but I'm not going to probably wear it, you know? Just not a jersey guy. These?
Dude, they are fire.
I might be making an exception. I like them that much. And honestly, man.
Little tequila sunrise, tip of the cap.
The glow up, the upgrade. And I didn't hate the Space City Connects that they had before.
I didn't either.
I didn't hate them. I thought they kind of got a...
They had a lot going on.
The logo was good. The uni stunk.
Yeah, they got a bad rap when they first got out there. I think I got a little bit more used to them. And I agreed that, hey, when you wore the socks, they looked a lot better. Like, they look bad when it's just a straight line pants. And
looked
it was
like pajamas.
Yeah, or like navy slacks, you know, some, I don't know. It wasn't good. But this is a glow up right here in City Connects. I'm thinking about getting a jersey, man. And I don't get them. I don't normally get them.
This is going to be, here's what's beautiful about these City Connects. And by the way, go to at Clint Sterner on Twitter if you hadn't seen him yet. I'm retweeting Ben Verlander right now I am forget about wearing them. I'm not wearing them. I'm not much of a jersey guy, but never have been. But my squad's gonna look super clean.
Yes.
taking the field in these. And the thing about it is, I love the Stros instead of Astros.
Yep.
I love taking the A off because, I mean, I've always, growing up an Astros fan, my dad, I don't know if I've ever heard my dad say Astros.
Yeah.
I think my dad has always said, hey, man, what are Stros looking like?
Go Stros.
He's never, I don't know if he's ever said, I'm sure he has, but I don't.
Go Stros.
He referred to them as Stros. And the other thing is, the Stros with that star is going to look clean on T-shirts. It's going to look clean on a hat. It's going to look clean on everything that they put it on. Now, the only way they screw this uniform up, boys, is if they try some silly ass sock like they did with that last City Connect.
Yeah, simple is the way to go here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, luckily if it's a sock, the guys can wear the long pants and cover it up. It's not a big deal. But man, if this is the real City Connect that the Astros are dropping,
but see, these are not blue though. See, I had an issue with I thought the socks helped the blue because it was too blue. It was blue on blue. It was like
real blue.
Yeah, like color rush in football is one thing. This color rush in baseball, I don't know. Like, you're supposed to have whatever your color is up top, but on your, you know, your bottom is supposed to either be white or the tannish,
grayish.
There were several problems. It just wasn't it.
Yeah, but this is it though. I'm with you on this. I think this looks good with socks or no socks or whatever you go with. Like, to me, especially with the Stros and they go to the star that you got on yours from the 90s right now.
Yes.
That, like, that star is my favorite star that they've ever had, and then you go Stros. I like it. I think this is perfect.
B. Scott, what's your favorite overall Astros uniform?
It's that one, the cap that you have on right now.
That you like
the 90s
navy
gold. Blue. Now, it could be nostalgia too, because that's when I grew up, right? Those are really the Astros that I grew up with.
Birth of the Killer Bees,
Tyler.
But I do think objectively that's the best looking one.
Those are up there for me as well. The navy and gold, they're pretty tough to beat. But if I had to pick just one, Man, I probably got to go Tequila Sunrise, the rainbow, the real throwback unis with the orange, yellow, red all working together. That's tough to beat for me.
Yeah, y'all picked both my two favorite. And I'm probably going to have to go with the navy and gold.
Mm-hmm.
I love the star. I love that. It's simple, but you're right, man. That Tequila Sunrise was nasty. What do you think the worst is? What do you think the least favorite is?
I was about to say, there's only been one uniforms of the Astros that I didn't like at all, and I hated them. Still think they were awful, and that is the brick red with the khaki, and also for some reason we had some pinstripes going on. Like, that era can just, as Seth would say, go die. But they're all fire.
It was not good. The City Connects this year I did not like. The brick red I did not like.
Brick red came with a terrifying ass mascot too. Junction Jack.
Was the Tequila Sunrise. It was the one like you can buy in the stores now that has the sunrise stripes on the shoulders, but it just says Astros in blue. And was that kind of just a tweener jersey or what was that?
Was
that before or after?
Yeah, I think it was after now. For a little bit on
that's its clean
own.
With just the hint of sunrise on each shoulder with the blue number and star, and that's clean now.
Yeah.
I can't remember when that was. But anyway, I'm with you, B. Scott. The navy blue and gold is
now shooting star, the Colt 45 is really from early. I don't know if it's just the nostalgia, but I could even get with that, man. I loved literally all the Astros uniforms except the red brick. Like, I think they've done a good job overall. Right. Like, I could take them all.
All right, the Houston Texans. We told you a little earlier the Houston Texans made a trade. We'll tell you what they traded for who and what that looks like for the Houston Texans. Have they solved any problems? Have they filled any gaps? What's the history and the vibe around this particular player that the Texans now have in uniform? We'll do that next right here on Sports.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Radio 610.
From the Moquette. Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills on the ones and twos. Stay plugged in. We got some Cody Jinks rodeo tickets to give away in the next hour, the 5 o'clock hour. We're giving away a four-pack of Cody Jinks rodeo tickets. We just gave away a four-pack to Brooks and Dunn. That came and gone. It came and went, if you will. You still got that opportunity for Cody Jinks, so stay plugged in. The Texans have made a move. They went radio silent there for about a day and a half, but they the Texans have made a move. They have made a trade. They gave up a 2026 sixth-round pick to the Vikings, and the Texans get Ed Ingram, a guard, in return. So 2026 sixth round pick for Ed Ingram, a guard. Ed Ingram is a former second round pick out of LSU. Minnesota inserted him into the starting lineup damn near immediately after drafting him in his first training camp. He struggled for a couple of years. They then brought in Dalton Reisner. I don't know if that was a trade or free agency, but Dalton Reisner came in. Dalton Reisner was competing, hurt his back. So Ed Ingram remained the starter for eight more games. Immediately when Dalton Reisner was healthy, he was plugged in to the starting lineup and started the last eight games, and here we sit with Ed Ingram. Ed Ingram's got 1 year left on his contract, a little over $3 million, I believe, is the number there. And the Texans get at the very least some depth at the interior offensive line position. B. Scott, there's obvious concern here with Ed Ingram. I mean, Ed Ingram coming in, they need the Ed Ingrams and Lakin Tomlinsons of the world. They need just depth and competition for sure. These aren't the kind of moves that I expected the Texans to make when, one, they announced that they absolutely have to priority number one fix the interior offensive line, and then when they decided to trade Laremy Tunsil. These are not the moves that I expected them to make. Ed Ingram, there's a high upside. Like I said, former second round pick, big strong dude that is physical as hell and will finish. There's no doubt about that. He brings a level of physicality to this offensive line that is much needed. But there's in the pass protecting game, there's been some real struggles. Not just with Ed Ingram, but there's also been some real struggles with Lakin Tomlinson. I'll give you a stat real quick. Now these are advanced stats, so take it for what it's worth. But the Texans shipped out the third highest, the guard that allowed the third highest one-on-one pressure rate among all guards in the league. That's Kenyon Green. They have now turned around and acquired the guards that would rank number one in that category, which is Ed Ingram, and the guard that would rank number four in that category, which is Lakin Tomlinson. So I don't know.
So one guy who ranks worse and as the worst. And then another guy who's just right there with
Kenyon Green. Yeah, one guy that's very similar. In fact, I mean, it's just the more you read about Lakin Tomlinson, he gave up. He was in Seattle last year. He gave up more sacks than any guard, any left guard. He gave up 11 sacks. Gave up more than any other left guard in the league that had 300 or more pass blocking snaps. And so, whether you're looking at Lakin Tomlinson or Ed Ingram, again, I think these are guys that come in and look. Change is good. A new coach is always good. A new scheme is always good. And these are two guys that one guy in Lakin Tomlinson was with D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco, so D'Amico Ryans knows what he's getting. And then when you look at Ed Ingram, he's coming out of Minnesota, which what the Texans are trying to do offensively, at least what they've been trying to do offensively, is very similar to what Kevin O'Connell does in Minnesota. Now, I don't know if we're going to have a little bit more of a New England twist here in Houston now, probably so, but the San Francisco, L.A., Green Bay, Miami, like that whole McVay, Shanahan, Kubiak twist is where both of these guys have experience in that system. So that is a plus. Their inability to protect the quarterback is a real problem that puts me in even more of a bind in a trying to make sense of what the Texans are doing up front.
Maybe these guys are depth. Maybe they end up competing for starting jobs. But I do think it's worth pointing out with both of them that in Lakin Tomlinson, you're talking about a guy with a lot of experience, starting at left guard specifically. And with Ed Ingram, you're talking about a guy with some experience starting at right guard specifically. So you've brought in, whether you like the advanced numbers or you like the tape or you like the narratives or anything like that, you have brought in two guys who have a lot of experience at those two specific positions, left guard specifically, right guard specifically, with Tomlinson and with Ingram. I would say the only way to really view it as a positive at this point, aside from just like not thinking that the sky is falling just because they brought in a couple of guys and this must be the answer and this must be the end. We understand that we're very early on in the offseason and the free agency process, haven't even gotten to the draft yet and all of that. But the only thing, like the main positive spin I could put on it right now would be, hey, maybe this is the physicality and the sort of tone setting offensive lineman mentalities type of stuff that they're bringing in that we've been talking about. Maybe these guys reflect that. Yeah. Maybe not the most talented guys, maybe not the most productive guys, maybe not the most analytically friendly guys right now based off of what they've done recently. But when you talk about an attitude, when you talk about an approach, when you talk about everything that we complained about with the Texans offensive line in the past, aside from the lack of production, but just not feeling like that tone was set, not feeling like they were nasty enough. I know there's people on the internet that felt like they were more interested in designer clothes and social media posts than they were just smacking the sun gun across the room in the face. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like you want your football team to reflect that and your offensive line to be that more than anything. If nobody else is, for them to be that way, and it never felt like that was what it was. I do think you can expect that to be the case with these two guys, if nothing else, even if they're not quite as talented or as productive as you would like for them to be.
Yeah, look, I'm with you, B. Scott. Now we're getting back into like the fix for the offensive line goes beyond just you know, like superior talent, right? I mean, and I'm not making excuses for any of these guys. I'm not making excuses for D'Amico or Nick or any of them, what the moves that they're making. I think this is underwhelming. I don't think this is going to get it done. I don't think this is backing up your words or your actions, if we're being completely honest. So I don't want to come across as if I'm, but I've said this before. There's so many layers to fixing the Texans pass protection and the Texans overall offensive line play. There's so many layers to it that if you can just fix two or three of them, you're going to be significantly better, right? There's so many layers to it that if you can just improve a little bit at several of the layers, you're going to be significantly better. And so to your point, and to these guys' defense, one, you can get any player, no matter how good or bad that player is, and you can find an advanced stat that paints a negative picture about them. Now, these are pretty damning in terms of what the Texans have to fix versus what they're obviously not very good at.
Yeah, they're in King and Green conversations analytically.
Yeah, that's one thing I'd rather them not do. But here's what I think about. So your point, I think, is very, very valid of like if these two dudes right here bring a level of dog, whether they ever touch the field or not, if they bring a level of dog to the O-line room and they're going to practice every day and they're going to piss people off and they're going to be more physical and they're going to do what Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and these guys do, Azeez Al-Shaair, do on a daily basis on the defensive side of the football in terms of pissing everybody off and it's hard to practice against them, like, then so be it. That's one of the layers that has to get better. Now, here's the other thing, like just from an O-line perspective, I think that these two guys being added at the interior O-line position, I think it puts the Texans in a place, assuming they make the necessary moves to bring in better than these guys. I think this makes the possibility that a guy that we've already seen fail miserably in Kenyon Green be one injury away from being on the field. Kendrick Green, a guy that should be playing fullback, being one play away from being inserted at the guard position. Like that, the Texans' starting offensive line and the product was bad last year, but there was also a piss poor backup plan, and there was never depth that was worth a damn. That's why they continued to struggle over and over and over and over again every time there was a little injury here or there. So I think these guys do bring in a level of competition, yes. To your point, experience, yes. But at the very least, man, at the guard position, you're going to have some dudes battling it out that if they do have to play in a pinch, they're not going to be they're not going to be overwhelmed physically. Whether right. we're talking mechanics and technique like Kenyon Green was, or we're talking just physical abilities like Kendrick Green was. Like, when you start depending on those guys or having to play Jarrett Patterson out of position.
Or even Shaq after being injured and old and all of that.
Like, your problems are compounding in a major, major way when your backup plan is a flunky as well. Right? Like these guys, I think, are at least softening that issue. Like, I think those guys are at least going to feel that void, if not better. So, we'll see. We'll see, you know, what comes of it. But, boy, the more you dig into Lake and Tomlinson and Ed Ingram, the more you find that there's some similar problems that Kenyon Green had. That's a scary.
And Ingram, I was reading up on this, like, after he got benched, he has been pretty open about saying some of his issues were technique and a lot of the little things, some of the smaller nuances of playing the position, technique. And he said the biggest thing that he needed to do was kind of sit back, watch a little bit, ask questions, and kind of just own it. So I have seen, just from researching him in the last couple of hours or so, or hour or so, that he was accountable for where his shortcomings were, and you just hope that he brings, you know, that other element, that attitude, that nastiness, and you see that he's at least willing to be coached and to improve wherever. Now, that does not mean that you and I still not longing for them to go out there and make a more buzzworthy move.
Well, Cole Popovich is said to be, I've not seen a lot of evidence of it, but Cole Popovich is believed to be been really good with the young offensive linemen here in developing them. And again, change of scenery. You never know what can pop there. If Cole, no pun intended, oh Popovich, if Popovich is as good as D'Amico is telling us he is, and Nick is telling us he is, then we'll see if he can't, you know, make these guys, you know, turn the corner, allow these guys to turn the corner and be better players. We'll see about that. All right, the Rockets got a nice little win last night. They're on a little bit of a streak. The best player on the floor last night, it was not Kevin Durant. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, it was not Devin Booker. We're going to tell you who that is and what the Rockets took care of business last night and what they've got moving forward. It's going to be a good week for them old Rockets. It should be a good week for the Rockets now. Also, Rockets and rodeo tickets. Coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.